This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feeds it right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Hey, what's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the unofficial podcast of RinkRoyalty.com. I'm Scott Kimball, and I want to let you know, before we get going, that you can find us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Royalty_pod, and of course, at Rink Royalty. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram. It's all under Hockey Royalty Podcast. We have got a fantastic show lined up for you today. This is a real treat to have an actual LA King on with us today. Well, before we get going, I want to bring in my co-host for today, the guy riding shotgun. He is the man as far as Rink Royalty goes. If hockey journalism was a war, this guy is General George Washington. I want to bring in Mr. Ryan Sykes. What's going on, pal?
Hey, Scott. Doing awesome. Been excited for this podcast for a couple of weeks. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Before we do bring in our guests, though, I just want to send out our sincerest condolences to the family of Matthijs Klavinkens. It was a tragedy what happened to the young Columbus goaltender, and it's just there's no other words to describe it. It's just terrible, and we just feel for him and send our condolences out to his family.
It's kind of a freak accident, really.
I guess there's just, you never know, but I mean, it's just a terrible thing that happened. But anyways, so we now want to bring in our guest. Our guest, you will know him as number 44 for your Los Angeles Kings. He made his debut this season, and he had one heck of a debut for the team. I'm talking about the one, the only, Mr. Mikey Anderson. What's going on, Mikey?
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Good, good. How you been?
Good, good. Not up to too much, but thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you coming on. So how's your offseason been going?
So far, so good. Went back to Minnesota, just been, working out, took a couple weeks off right when I got back, and started June, went back in the weight room, kind of got back in the swing of things, and just been working out and trying to work on the golf game a little bit.
How's that coming along? Mikey, I have to ask, like, what is it with golf or hockey players at golf? You know, I talked to Josh Stone of the Chicago Steel, and he was walking off the golf course when I called him. Just the closest thing to hockey.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm not really sure. I mean, I guess we're all used to being in the cold rink and all. So when we get the chance to go sit on the golf course for a couple hours, it's a good alternative than being in the rink all day.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the burning question I have to ask you, I've been wanting to ask you for a long time. What's it like playing with Drew Doughty? Give us the inside.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It's funny when I come home and I talk to some of my buddies and, they all ask, the same question, but when I look back, three, four, 5 years ago, you never think that something like that would ever happen. But I mean, he's the ultimate guy. He's the ultimate player, the ultimate pro. That guy does it all. Being a young guy coming in and getting the opportunity to play with him, it's something, not very many people get to do. But he's a guy that obviously everyone sees the way he plays, but I think it's more impressive behind the scenes what he does to make the younger guys feel comfortable. how loose he can keep the locker room, keep everyone, you know, feeling good about themselves, but at the same time can lay the hammer when he needs to. But yeah, it's pretty surreal. And, you know, this year was kind of a whirlwind going through that. And it was such a good experience.
Yeah, he's certainly just evolved into a team leader from, you know, obviously he's thrown right into the fire at 18 years old coming into the league. And, you know, through the years, you know, of course, we know him for his chirps, which we absolutely love. And so I got to ask about that. Does he chirp everybody at practice too?
Yeah, he gives it pretty good. I still remember it was my first year pro. Right when I had gotten called up, you know, there, I think the one practice, I'm just standing there waiting for the drill to start. And I just felt one puck hit me in the back of the leg, another one. And by like the third, fourth, fifth puck, I turned back around. And he's sitting there with an ear to ear grin and just started shooting at me. And there was nothing more to it than that, but it was just the little stuff like that every day, or, you know, the way someone walks into the rink, the clothes they're wearing or whatever. But he seems to have a good sarcastic comment for whatever happens.
Does that kind of stuff, Mikey, you know, him playfully shooting a puck at you, does that kind of build your confidence to know that he's kind of like taking you under his wing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was, you know, one of the first, maybe just after the first week I was with the big team. So, you know, having a guy like that, you know, have a little fun with you, it makes you feel a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more like you belong. And I mean, him as well as, you know, Kopi, Brownie, and, you know, Karts, Quickie, all those guys, they all had that, that act to be like that. And, you know, as the young guys this year, they all did a great job making us feel, like we belong right from the start.
Oh, that's great. That really is. So take us through when you first found out you were going to be his partner on defense.
Yeah, it was weird because it happened in the middle of a game. So it was after the first period, we were coming back out on the ice, and I was just going to the bench to start the period. And Jans, the D coach, was like, Mikey, go out and start with Drew. So it wasn't really anything more than that. And, you know, I didn't know if it was for a shift or what the deal was going to be. So, but kind of as it went on, you know, it was nice not really having any time to think about it. So by that point, it was just go out there, you know, and try and do what I can do. And then kind of after the game, it hit me a little bit more, where it was like, oh, like that actually happened. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy. It's a pretty good, you know, story and something to look back on.
I think sometimes anticipation can be your own worst enemy, you know, just thinking about it. But as you noted, just kind of getting thrown into the fire, that may have been the best situation for you.
Yeah, it was nice to not sit there and think about it at all. Just go out there and just try and play.
Yeah, but I mean, what a heck of an opportunity, though, just to be suddenly right on that first pairing defense with certainly a future Hall of Famer. That had to be just – sometimes, let me guess, you had to pinch yourself sometimes, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean – that was the, you know, even sitting by him in the locker room, you know, you come in there and see my name, see his name right next to it. And it's like you said, it's pinching yourself. It's you're laughing because, you know, he's a guy that when I grew up playing NHL on video game stuff and, you know, fantasy hockey, he's obviously one of the guys you're taking in the top 10 of the draft. So it was pretty crazy, but it's also very cool. I'm very, you know, just fortunate to be able to have gone through that.
That's cool. And, you know, you just mentioned something that just kind of made a question click in my mind here. When you were growing up, who were some of the players that you looked up to?
That's a good one. A lot of right away was all the Minnesota players, just being from Minnesota. I know when I was real little, me and my brother both loved Marian Gaborik.
Mm-hmm.
Back when he was, you know, the big thing in Minnesota, that was awesome to watch. But then as I got older, I watched a lot of Ryan Suter just because he was in Minnesota. I got to see more of him than the other guys. But, I mean, I've always just kind of watched or like watching just, you know, players in general. Not necessarily, you know, model a day or my game completely after one of them, but throughout a game, more you see a play happen, you kind of look who it was, and then you go into the next, you know, play and figure it out. But then I always laugh because it's always fun watching a guy like Drew who can put up big numbers, or, you know, all the guys that are a little bit more flashy. But I always turn some heads when I said I loved watching Ian Cole back in the day.
Sure.
He was playing for, I think, Pittsburgh when they were going on all their cup runs. And I always say it a couple times, and people kind of turn their head sideways, like, really? You picked him? And I was like, well, I feel like I played similar to him. And I was at that time when I appreciated, you know, how he played the game and how much he meant to some of those teams that were very successful. But that was something I never really paid attention to until I got a little bit older and understood the game a bit more.
You know, it's funny you mentioned getting older, because you kind of threw me for a curveball a little bit with that answer, because I got to tell you, I'm 47 and I forget how young you are. And I'm like, he's not mentioning any North Stars. What's going on here? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind. I just did it myself.
Yeah. So, Mikey, the Kings made a move recently, actually a couple. They made a move today, but I'll ask you about the one last week. They signed Victor Arvidsson. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. You know, obviously I've only been here for a year now, so I, you know, with the way it all lined up this year too, I never had the chance to play against him or see him much, but you know, he's a terrific player just from, you know, like I said, watching, you know, all the NHL games kind of growing up, and he's a, you know, established player, and you know, I think we're really excited to have him, and I'm sure all the fans are as well, but I think he'll be a good addition for us.
Oh, I certainly think so. I mean, it's going to be a great help, actually, all the way around, because the guy can do everything, really.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, you had another milestone this year. You had your NHL debut, or your brother, too, played against each other. So, take us through that.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Just being able to, you know, play an NHL game, let alone have it be against my brother, which is, you know, something we've done so many times, you know, whether it's been backyard hockey, literally NHL on Xbox, or knee hockey, but it was for sure a pretty crazy moment. And, you know, we are very fortunate enough to have our, you know, mom, dad, and sister and family up in the stands watching it and being a part of it. But, you know, so much has gone into it, especially, you know, given from our mom and dad and all they've done for us. But, he's been there, you know, along the, you know, the whole ride with me, whether it's working out, shooting pucks, literally just any kind of hockey. But he's kind of been my right-hand man through it all. So having him there and being able to play against him, you know, it helps a little bit just having the one familiar face on the ice with me. But it was for sure something I'll never forget.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's had to be so special, just be have your whole family there too. But, you know, you mentioned backyard hockey and all that, and everybody who's played hockey has played backyard hockey during the summer, road hockey, street hockey, whatever you want to call it. And you always imagine yourself winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Obviously you played with your brother. Now I got to ask you, were you winning the Stanley Cup against your brother, or were you guys teammates?
Well, I guess it kind of depended on the day for us. When we were younger, I think we had times when we would be out there and it would just be the two of us pretending to play against, you know, whatever team we wanted. But it would be a 2-on-0 with no goalie or anything. So we never lost. but then as time went along, it was kind of funny because we'd always try and play like a, you know, 7-game series on Xbox against each other. But usually ended with, you know, maybe a broken remote or the two of us in a fist fight on the couch with mom and dad getting mad at us. But after we went through that a few too many times, we had the idea like, hey, like, why don't we just play together and see how it goes? So from then on, we've kind of just morphed into being teammates on Xbox where we'll try and, you know, go through it together. But, you know, with that, I feel like there's times it's still just as bad because he'll get mad at me for something dumb I do throughout the game, and got to make sure he's not going to, you know, take a swing at me. But it definitely drove into, you know, our competitive nature growing up.
And by the way, I misspoke. That was the end of last season. So that's my bad.
It kind of all blurs together, Scott.
Well, listen, when you get to be as old as me, these things happen. So just don't get old. Do yourself a favor.
But yeah, that leads me to my next thought, question, whatever you want to call it. You know, 6 games of experience to close out 2020 season. You play 54 games this year. Your goal this year is kind of went off the end boards and skirted past Anthony Stolarz, you know, and you're the only one in front of the slot there. Just walk us through that moment. How big did your eyes get when you saw the puck coming right towards you?
Yeah, I was it was kind of funny because I think I was kind of up in the rush and turning back. I was just getting ready to skate back to the point, maybe even go for a line change if I remember, one of the two. But I was kind of coming out of the zone and saw a puck coming in. And I was like, well, I'll just, you know, keep my eye on it, see what happens. And of course, it takes the biggest hop off the boards. And like you said, my eyes couldn't have been wider. I was like, oh, crap, like I'm the only one here. And then I was laughing once it goes in on the back, and I think I asked someone, I go, did I have a lot more time? And I think they were like, yeah, there was no one anywhere near you. But
oh, wow.
Obviously when it popped out, I was kind of, you know, panicked, like, oh, I just got to try and get this off quick. Luckily it went in. So I was thankful it dropped for me.
They're like, you could have ordered a pizza.
Yeah.
it was a backhanded shot, right? If I remember correctly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just something I noticed too, Mikey, into March and April, something that I picked up on, that you started to shoot the puck a little bit more. You had a little bit more crooked numbers in like the twos and threes and even some fours in your game logs. Did that just kind of come with like the confidence of playing more games, or was that something that the coaching staff and yourself wanted to, strive for?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, coming into the year, I, like you said, I had only had six games, so I was still kind of trying to find, you know, my shoes within the team and, you know, where I was going to fit in. And then, obviously we talked about getting to play with Drew and kind of go through that, where I think, you know, a lot of the start was me kind of figuring out what I needed to do to, you know, help him do what he can do. You know, obviously he's done it all. So, I was trying to, you know, kind of find my shoes still, but at the same time, do what I can to help him. So I think as the year went on, I was getting more comfortable with him, but also kind of getting more comfortable with my own game and what I could do. And I knew kind of, you know, that whole time I had more offense to give and, you know, always still feel like I can add more of that in my game. But as the year went on, I started to feel, a bit more comfortable trying to find, you know, different offensive, you know, timing and holes where I can jump in and try and help out a little bit more.
Well, and it certainly showed in your play, man. You were just fantastic this year.
Absolutely.
I mean, really. I mean, it was just great to watch you grow right from the get-go, too. So I do have to ask you something before we get too much further into future and all that. When you first came into Los Angeles, who was – I mean, you've mentioned Drew, but were there any other players that really took you under their wing?
Yeah, I might have been when I signed right away. I had come out a couple other times just in the summer, kind of before that first year to work out and train, just to, you know, see everything and be a part of it for a little bit. But when I was here, Marty was still here, obviously. So I was at least throughout the summer when I had come working out with him, you know, he took me out. We got, you know, lunch or breakfast every couple of days. But I remember talking to our strength coach, Matt Price, and he was talking about just how he was the ultimate pro, too. And he's a guy to kind of watch, see the way he acts, see what he does around the rink, you know, how he treats his body. And, you know, he couldn't be more spot on. And I know he's, you know, done a lot. He was a big part of, you know, all those cup teams. But he was a great guy to kind of learn from, even though it was for, you know, a short period of time. But you know, he's a guy you can try and model a game after. And, you know, you watch him this year in the playoffs and he was fantastic for Vegas. So, you know, he's another guy, you know, very lucky and fortunate enough that I was able to work with for a little bit.
Yeah. He played through with a broken foot too.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
What a warrior.
A right there. Yeah.
You know, Mikey, I just, kind of to wrap with Drew, you know, when you hear him talking in his exit interview, he doesn't want the Kings to bring in anyone else. He likes playing with you. You know, kind of walk us through, you know, what that feels like to hear him say that.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty special, obviously. I'm like we've already said a few times, I'm so young still and, you know, still kind of trying to figure out the whole NHL thing, you know, the whole league and the way the life, you know, lifestyle works. But when you have a guy like that, you know, have some nice words to say and, you know, pump your tires if you want to say so a little bit. It makes you feel good, but it's just, you know, it's nice having, you know, it helps, you know, me feel more comfortable and confident with what I do. and that I'm, you know, doing the right things to help him out. I know we like he said too, you know, we communicate a lot throughout, you know, games, practices, on the ice, off the ice, but you know, it's nice to always get some good feedback, especially from him, where you know, he notices what I can do and what I've been doing to try and help him. So yeah, it's pretty special and kind of surreal to hear those things.
Yeah, and then just kind of sticking with your exit interview, something that really just kind of hit home with me. You know, we often forget, you know, watching you guys play, you're not around your families and stuff. I know you said you saw your family through the glass in Las Vegas, and then you got to see them for a little bit in Minnesota, and you said the first thing you do when you get home, you're going to hug your mom. Yeah. Just kind of wrap that whole thing up for us, you know. You get home, what was that moment like for you?
Yeah, it's such a long time, you know, and a lot happened throughout the year, where you go that long without seeing, you know, your family, you know, the people that, you know, mean the most to you. It obviously is very tough. And I know a lot of the guys kind of throughout the league were dealing with it too, where, you know, obviously with the whole scenario, you know, the league was doing their job to try and keep us players safe. But, you know, on the personal level, it was hard for a lot of us. So, you know, we got through it, which is good. But like you said, coming home and, seeing my mom, dad, and my sister, and, you know, some of my family and friends, you know, outside of them that I hadn't seen, it was pretty special again and pretty fun, exciting. Now, like I said, a lot had happened throughout the year, so it was nice, you know, coming home, having a nice big, you know, family dinner with all of them and just kind of getting to enjoy being around them again.
Oh, yeah, that had to have been fantastic. And I bet you can't wait to be playing in front of full arenas next season. So,
oh, yeah, it can't come soon enough. I think everyone's sick of the empty building. You know, it's not, you know, it's no fun. We love having fans there.
Oh, absolutely.
Even the fake fan noise, it helps, but it, so there are times throughout the game you hear it and you kind of look at someone else on the bench and you kind of start laughing, like, what are they trying to do? But
right.
Like again, they're trying their best to make it feel normal, but I think until all the seats are filled, it still won't feel normal.
No. And they're probably setting, you know, the fake cardboards up in the tunnel so you guys can high five them on the way out too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Take one home
with you. So speaking of next season, is there any goals in particular you have for the season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I you know, defensively, I liked, you know, what I personally had done this year. I thought me and Drew worked really well together, you know, in our own end and in breaking pucks out and defending well. But yeah, I think as, you know, as time continues to grow, I think I have more offense I can provide for the team, at least help out a little bit more, try and keep some more plays alive, maybe generate a few more chances. But you know, the way I play the game and kind of all that, it all kind of stems from the D zone and, you know, being a good shutdown guy. But, yeah, I think there's more to give on the offensive front, but at the same time, I got to, you know, still the main focus for me is being able to try and shut down some of the other guys, or the other team's top players.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you, that is not an easy task at all.
No. Yeah. It's definitely tougher. I forget who else I was talking to, someone when I got home, but they were asking what it was like, and it's, you know, when you finally, you know, play against some of those guys, and then you see a guy like Drew who can average, what is it, 26 something minutes a game.
Yeah.
But then you look and you see who he's playing against, and, you know, you kind of get wired, like the fact that those guys can do it for, you know, 10 plus years of 25 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Those guys, that's doesn't really hit you until you have to try and do it. And it's pretty tough, but you know, it's a big kudos to guys like him and others around the league that are able to do it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You're thinking yourself like hockey cyborgs, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Mikey, I don't know if you know this, but you average the most among rookie defensemen time on ice.
Yeah, I did see that. It was me and Keandre Miller. I know him a little bit from when we played together in World Juniors, and another Minnesota guy, but yeah, I saw that was a pretty cool stat to see.
I got to ask you, you know, we saw a bunch of different sweaters, jerseys, uniform combinations this year. If you had to pick one to go forward with to put into the rotation, reverse retros or the Gretzky Heritage sweaters?
Oh, those are both fantastic. personally, I'm a big fan of the purple ones. Even back in, like, I'll reference playing Xbox again, but I always loved when they had the old purple and yellow jerseys with the crown on it. I'd always go back and wear those if I ever was LA. But I think the purple and gold, you can't really beat any of that. I think that's just the classic look. But those were by far my favorites this year.
Well, did we get any insider info of what they're going to do next year? Are they bringing back the Burger King jersey, or
I've got no idea. That's out of my wheelhouse right there.
So, you know, I just got one way off the wall question here for you. It's really nothing to do with hockey, but I actually have a son that's about your age, and he is completely addicted to his Xbox. And I know you had mentioned Xbox before, so tell us, what are some of your favorite games?
I'm trying to think now. Ever since being home, I haven't played a whole lot. I've been pretty busy trying to spend as much time, like I said earlier, on the golf course as possible. But growing up, me and my brother, we always share the same, you know, PlayStation or Xbox, and we usually only got a couple hours a day because mom and dad made sure we were getting, you know, a lot of time outside and weren't stuck on the TV. But we always loved NHL, which is always just the classic one. It's easy, it's fun. Last year, kind of going on the road, I got into the PGA game, the golf game, a lot.
Yeah,
that was fun because we were able to play with each other, especially on the road, and we didn't have much else to do. But not a huge gun game guy. I've never really gotten into Call of Duty. I know it's a big one with a lot of guys, but I tried playing it once and I was horrible. Got yelled at by everyone I played with, and I never turned the game back on.
So that's familiar for me too, but don't worry about it.
So I don't think I'm gonna jump back on that anytime soon, unless I get saved hard enough. But
those 13-year-olds on the other end can be brutal, Mikey.
I wish I could say I was anywhere near as good as that, but yeah, the younger kids, they take it to me pretty good.
That's great. Well, since you're spending a lot of time on the golf course, then you got to tell us, are you better off the tee, chipping, or putting?
It depends on the day. If I'm being honest, I mean, once I figure one thing out, something else seems to go wrong. But I was going to say, the past, it's always been my driver that was the problem. But now, finally, my driver seems, you know, it has been a little bit better. But like I said, it's you know, figure one thing out, something else goes wrong. It's you know, the constant battle with that game. But obviously, it's, you know, one of the reasons why you love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know I feel your pain. Every time I think I'm going to correct my slice, I'm just going to play my slice, and then it actually goes straight.
It goes straight.
Like going through a window or something.
I couldn't tell you the amount of times it's happened to me. I'll aim left so it goes right, and then it doesn't go right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Mikey, we just want to thank you for coming on. This has been fantastic, and we don't want to take up too much more of your time. So get on out there and enjoy that golf course while you can. And, you know, best of luck next season. We know you're going to be fantastic. And just keep doing what you're doing, man. Thank you.
Yeah, Mikey, when are you heading back to L.A.?
You know, not entirely sure yet. Try and get back maybe a month or so before the year. My cousin's got a wedding later on in the summer, so I wanted to make sure I'm home for that, and probably head back sometime after that. But be back and kind of get back in the swing of things. I can't wait to get back in LA with the fellas.
Yeah, can't wait to see you. Congratulations on a first full season in the NHL. I can't wait to see your second full season.
Absolutely. Yeah, awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mike. You appreciate it. That was Mikey Anderson of your LA Kings. What a great guy. That was a fun interview.
That was great.
It really was. I tell you, I would love to get around to golfing with him.
Yeah.
that would be so much fun. We could compare slices. It'd be awesome.
I think I'd rather stand in a batting cage and just have him like shoot pucks at me all day. My golf game is horrific.
So you'd rather get hit by a puck than take a drive off a tee?
Yeah, there's only 364 more days until next year's hockey tryouts.
Oh, Tappy Sykes. I love it. I love it.
There you go.
Oh, man. And that was Mikey Anderson, defenseman for your LA Kings. What a great guy. That was a lot of fun. You know,
that was fun.
As somebody, you know, who likes to hit the golf course every once in a while, it's heartening for me to know that even a professional athlete sometimes has problems with their slice.
Absolutely. You know, I just he nailed it on the head. You try to account for your splice, and then it ends up going straight.
Exactly. So, hey, we got something in common. I love it. So now that we're back rolling here, we got somebody has returned to us. He has come off LTIR. He missed the first part of the episode, but he's back again. It's Mr. Russell Morgan. What's going on, pal?
Hey, we're still cap compliant, right?
I don't know.
Everyone, it's Nikita Kucherov to the podcast. Yeah.
How about that press conference, eh?
Oh, yeah. Man. I just saw a report that he played the entire Stanley Cup final with a fractured rib, I think.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, you know, I guess that happens in the finals or the playoffs, you know.
Yeah, it's like Alec Martinez, you know, just like we're talking about with Mikey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Playing with a broken foot. So, you know what, though? I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm actually glad the final is over because now we can get into the real season for us.
I know, and we got the not that the we already saw that the Kings aren't going to do anything, but the buyout window starts tomorrow. I know Frank Saravalli mentioned Olimata as a potential candidate, but the Kings will only save like $2.7 million doing so, and they don't really need to right now. I see him more as a better fit for maybe the seventh defenseman or what have you. So.
Yeah,
you know, I was kind of beating that drum a little bit, but kind of backing up Frank there. But I did see maybe a case to maybe make open up a spot on the roster if they wanted to bring up a younger player. But I mean, yeah, bringing back Ole is not the. I mean, yeah, like you said, Ryan, a perfectly good seventh defenseman. It's not like we paid much to get him, so and he's still viable. Still can produce.
Right. Still viable, and I mean, you can finally cut ties with Curtis McDermott. As much as I like the guy, but it's just time.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, they're going to try to make him a forward, right?
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
You know, actually, with Mata, I wouldn't mind if he did end up in Ontario, and it was kind of a, you know, that depth piece that in the event they get hit with a rash of injuries again, if they want to bring up somebody like Durzi, give him some time at the NHL level, right? Let Mata work on his game a little bit down in the AHL, get his playing time in, and then if they need him, bring him back up. I mean, yeah, you know, it's the cap hit's going to be kind of negligible, really. I think it's, I think it's actually they only save like just over $1 million, I think, by burying it. But even still,
yes,
you know,
you're right.
It never hurts to have depth defensemen. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And but on the Sean Durzi will be 23 in October, and Was he part of, remind me again, was he part of the Muzzin deal?
Yes.
He was.
Yes, he was. Right. And you know what? Maybe it's time to see what he can do.
Yeah.
You know, why not? I mean, granted, it's going to be tough for him to crack that right side with it, you know, having a Doughty and Roy and Walker.
I know.
But
and, Dougie Hamilton. Sorry, go
that's
ahead.
That's right. Exactly. Now you're speaking my language, Ryan. All right. We'll save that for another conversation. But anyways, but you know, you never know. You get hit with a rash of injuries, maybe there's something there. So
yeah, and I mean, you almost maybe had a decent chance of coming up last year, especially when they lost Walker and Roy in the same game in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I'm actually surprised they didn't give him a couple games. Look, at that point, really, what do you got to lose?
They moved Clegg over to the right, correct? I think they had McDermott and him on the same pairing because they played together in the AHL.
Right, right. And, you know, that's another thing. I know I had that piece out about Dougie Hamilton. I'm not going to beat that drum to death. But I understand that the Kings have right defensemen coming in the system. Yeah. You got your Helge Grons. You got Brock Faber, right?
Jordan Spence.
My question is this, and maybe this sounds a little bit ridiculous, but these guys are young enough. Do you think maybe one of them could slide over to the left, maybe learn how to play the left side a little bit so that in the event when they're ready in 3 or 4 years, maybe you got a shot to fill in some holes? I don't know. Just a thought. But there and again, I'm not the general manager of the Kings, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, typically you like to keep them on their stick side.
Their natural side.
I know Walker can play both sides, though.
So. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, there are defensemen that can do it. So just a thought. Oh, well. Because you know what, guys? We've got bigger news to talk about. And there was a trade involving our LA Kings. That's right. The trade winds are blowing through the City of Angels. Our Kings have acquired Victor Arvidsson from the Nashville Predators for this year's second-round draft pick and next year's third-round draft pick, both of which are the Kings picks and not acquired picks. So your thoughts on this, please, Ryan.
I loved it. Kings needed top six forward scoring. Arvidsson went healthy, and that's kind of the operative word here, but by all accounts in his media session yesterday, it seems good to go. So he should help out the top six forwards. I'd like to see him add one more and just really kind of solidify the top six and maybe let the kids fill out the bottom six forwards.
Yeah, not a bad idea. How about you, Russ?
Yeah, it was kind of just came out of nowhere. And a lot of people asked me that trades were even able to go down while the playoffs were going on. So, but yeah, like we'd kind of expected the Kings to add up to the forward front and bring in Arvidsson. That's a player from the Predators. He's been a scorer. I mean, he's put up goals, and that's of course what the Kings need. And I'm trying to find his relative expected goals for. I know I shared the total the other day, but yeah, when he's on the ice, they score 6.5%, or they have 6.5% more expected goals. Ooh. When he's on the ice at 5-on-5. So, yeah, he's one of the better forwards for Predators, and I guess the biggest issue that everyone's talked about is his health. So if he can stay healthy, you're looking at a solid add to the wing on the top six. And I think I'm probably slotting him in at the second line. I know some people want to maybe slide Brown down. I don't want to break up that chemistry that Kopitar and Brown have. So if you can slide Arvidsson on that second line with Vilardi, which if Vilardi comes back on that second pairing or that second line, give Arvidsson on the right side and maybe put Iafallo back on the left side with Vilardi, that's a pretty solid second line. So I like it.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely. And you know what? This possibly being Brownie's last year in a Kings uniform, you know, do you really want to break up the Hall and Oates, so to speak, of L.A.? You know, I don't. But that's not for me to decide. But, however, there is a little caveat with acquiring Victor Arvidsson. It appears that his buddy Philip Forsberg is not very happy that he's gone. So I don't want to start rumors or anything like that. But – I think Phil Forsberg hits unrestricted free agency next year, does he not?
Yeah, he's got 1 year left. I wouldn't mind it as long as he signs a long-term deal.
Yeah, we don't want another Lucic deal.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't want another Lucic deal? Come on. That was fun.
Forsberg's going to be a hot topic. I don't know what the Predators are going to do. It seems like they're kind of heading to that dreaded R-word, the rebuild. So Forsberg's, like you said, 1 year left on his deal. I believe it's 7.5 million off the top of my head. Not sure if I'm correct there, but yeah, left a solid left wing. And what was it? I shared in 2018 that Kempe played with both of them during the World Championships. I forget where it was, but yeah, 2018, they were all on the same line together. So who knows? I know Kempe was playing the center there, but
he's got 6 million left, Russ.
6 million. Yeah, there you go. But I don't know. I don't like. Like I mentioned, 1 year left on his deal. I think he goes to more of a contender that's looking more like to win now. So, but that's another name to watch coming out of Nashville.
Well, then you know what? Maybe everybody's just got to show Victor Arvidsson the time of his life in L.A. so he can convince his buddy Philip Forsberg to come west. What do you think?
Exactly.
Nice, he has 3 years left on his deal, though, guys. I mean, but it'll be interesting to see where the Kings are at the end of his 3 years.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what I was hoping for, is that they trade for people more for players with term. And like I mentioned, the Lucic deal, and I'll keep going back to that because you trade away Colin Miller and Martin Jones, who at the time was a really solid goaltender, and you kind of get Lucic for 1 year, and then he leaves. And you can't really have that happening, especially for a team that's still trying to build up into contention. So you want to have a player that's going to come, that's going to stick for a couple of years. So. And that's what Arvidsson has, like you mentioned, Ryan, with 3 years left on his deal.
And don't forget that first-round pick, which we could have used to draft Barzal, Connor. I don't want to get into it. It's going to make a point. But, you know, you bring up an interesting point, Russ, about trading for players, top six players that have term now. But how much term are we talking about? Because there's a glut of youngsters that are coming, and they're going to need spots. And you really don't project all these highly touted prospects to be bottom six players. So they got to fit in somewhere. So are we talking about maybe a 4 or 5 year deal? Is that kind of what you're ballparking here?
Well, I don't want to say 4 or 5 years left. I mean, but I'll just keep beating that Jack Eichel drum. But if they're going to bring in a
legend, really, buddy.
If they're going to bring in some more elite talent, you're going to have to give away some prospects. And I thought that's what Blake would have to do. But, I mean, luckily he didn't have to give up any, really, to get Arvidsson. And that's what I mentioned, that he did really well here, only giving up two draft picks, a second and a third. And that's a pretty good deal to get Arvidsson. So, There's still a ton of prospects that are ready and just waiting in the wings. I tried to do some like early roster predictions after the trade, and took me like half an hour just because I'm like, okay, well, what about Turcotte? What about Kupari? Right. What about
Yeah, I'm sure you forgot some people too, Russ.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's like and then they brought in Vladimir Kachev from Russia on a 1-year deal. So, yeah, that's why, I mean, all this points to something bigger is coming. Something bigger is coming. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, because you can't let these kids sit in Ontario for the next 2 years, right? One more year max. I mean, you know, eventually enough's going to be enough. You're not going to have any more development by playing them in the AHL when they need to be at the NHL level to start, you know, cutting their teeth, so to speak. But we'll see what happens. We'll see. I'm sure Rob Blake and Luke Robitaille have got the plan, and it will be put in motion before our very eyes very soon, hopefully. So on another note, speaking of Kings forwards, I put a poll out on my Twitter the other day about Andreas Athanasiou. And, you know, I'll tell you, just the gist of it was a month ago, I would have said that he's coming back for sure. No doubt about it. But, you know, with the moves that are being made lately and some of the rumors we're hearing around, I'm not so sure if he is. So I put out a poll asking, do you, as Kings fans, think that he will be back? And it was interesting that 65% of the people that responded said no. So, Russ, what do you think? Is AA coming back or what?
Yeah, I think if the Kings were contending for a Stanley Cup next year, I would say, yeah, bring him back on a 1-year, 2-year deal. And because he could be a really good third line, maybe even fourth line option on a really good team. But like we talked about, there's prospects that are ready to take those spots. And bringing in Athanasiou, who was really just kind of seemed like, to me, kind of like a filler last year, just kind of a way to inject some scoring, maybe bring some excitement. He's a fast skater, and he can fly up and down the ice. That's kind of what he was brought in for. I just don't see him coming back with – now we saw Arvidsson come in, and like I mentioned, Kachev, who I'm really high on. There just doesn't seem like there's enough room for him.
Yeah, dude, you are going to be the president of the Kachev fan club. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I'm beating – I'll keep beating that drum. I'm telling you. I think
Russ is the only one that knows how to say his name.
I know. So he's got to be the president.
I probably speak Russian at this point by how many Russian articles I've probably tried to Google translate in the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, I just love watching him play. And from everything I hear, he's got a little bite to his game. And, unfortunately, there's, like, some restrictions as far as watching, like, full game replays in the KHL, which sucks. Hmm. But, I mean, just from the highlights I see, the way he skates on his edges, I mean, I don't want to say it, but there's, like, some Kirill Kaprizov to his game. I mean, it's fun to watch. And I think from what I was reading in whatever Russian website I happened to find, that there was a little bit of a conflict with him and the coaching staff. So if you notice, like, he didn't really play a full season. And that's because I guess that there was a conflict there. So I forget. I think the general manager or the coach's name was Gorgiev or something along those lines. But I was reading that he had been sat. That's like a healthy scratch for a couple games up there. But I mean, I've mentioned this on here. The KHL has one of the best puck tracking and player tracking systems in the world. And was implemented just 2 years ago. And he's constantly up there in the top, among the top players in terms of puck possession. And that's what the Kings need. I mean, if they can get a player who can possess a puck and get some good zone entries, then I think it bodes well for his results in the NHL.
El Presidente pumping up the expectation for the poor guy, comparing him to Kaprizov. Way to go. Ryan, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was kind of in the same boat with you, Scott. I thought he was for sure coming back because of his speed. But, you know, I'm looking at his game logs here, and he really tailed off. I've said this before, but he tailed off towards the end of the year, as did the rest of the team. But, you know, he went 10 plus games without a goal to finish the season. I think they'll circle back on him, but I think they might prioritize, a Forsberg, a Connor Garland, a Sam Reinhart, one of those guys first, and then do their due diligence on them. And then if maybe the asking price or something is too high, they might circle back on Athanasiou. That's where I stand.
You know who he always reminded me of? Michael Grabner. He always reminded me of Michael Grabner. It's uncanny to me. But, you know, speaking of rumors and high-profile forwards and all that, word out of St. Louis is that Vladimir Tarasenko wants out. you know, it's funny because, I mean, that's actually been going around for a couple weeks as a possibility. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of just blew it off as, oh, yeah, right, sure. He's going to, yeah. Because there was never really any indication. And now there was a report out of The Athletic that says, yeah, it's true. So apparently he wants to go to a contender, but the Kings could also be a possibility. What do you guys think about that?
Well, that Athletic article said that, you know, you might have to be open-minded because some of the, a lot of those contenders are up against cap issues. Mentioned teams like Islanders, Tampa, which we all know they have their cap issues, Penguins. you know, the list kind of goes on, but that's usually what happens with contenders, right? They you don't really see a contender with $20 million in cap space available because they're going to use it. But point being, you know, if the guy hasn't played, I forget how many games he's played in the last 2 years. I had it this morning, but I lost it in the conglomerate that's in my brain. But, you know, he hasn't played in, like, really two seasons. So he's a 29-year-old, 27-year-old-ish player, you know, if you want to. If you want
29.
Yeah, I know, 29, but 27 if you take off his skating years. But, you know, I think Kings would have to do their due diligence on his shoulder to make sure that's 100% because he's had, what, three surgeries?
Yeah.
So. Roundabout answer, yeah, kick the tires on him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's I was kind of like, Tarasenko, like you mentioned, the all the injury history. He's 29. He's got 1 year left on his deal. But the, I mean, the more I think about it, I mean, if you can bring him in, and it, from what I understood, it's a mutual agreement. So I think the Blues are trying to help him out as far as sending him to a. I'm sure they're going to send him to a team that he wants to go to. So I'm sure there's going to be some permission being given by his staff and all that. So, I mean, maybe – who knows? Maybe he does want to come to L.A. If he's healthy and you slot him in with Kopitar, I mean, Kopitar and Tarasenko together, that just sounds nasty.
I mean, I know.
You're talking about Kopitar setting up a scorer like Tarasenko. Oh, man. I'd definitely sign up for that. Then you can move Brown down to, like, the third line. Play him with a Quentin Byfield, who's going to be a young player. Then you have a veteran forward with Brown. Bring Brown back for maybe two more years or so. And then, but I mean, the biggest deal is if we trade for him or if the Kings trade for him, you got to make sure that there's some term and make sure that there's going to be a contract extension tied to that as well.
Just going to say that, Russ. He's got 2 years left, and that's the $7 million you were alluding to. But his actual base salary is like in the nines. Mm-hmm. This coming season, but yeah, I mean, if you trade for him, he's got 2 years left. Let's see, the Kings just aren't ready when he's done, and you gave up, you know, a couple of top prospects and a high pick for him. I'm not sure that's the best move that you could have made when you could have gotten like a younger guy like Garland or Reinhardt, who are both 25,
mm-hmm. right?
And see, restricted free agents.
I got a little different opinion on that. So I, for one, don't think there's any way that the Kings should be giving up any first-round picks for him or any of their top-tier prospects. If you want to put together a package with, you know, second- to fourth-round picks and some middle-tier prospects, fine. You know, obviously the Kings will – see, here's the thing. The Blues, if they trade with the Kings, will not have to retain any salary because we can fit them in under the cap, right? Whereas if they're going to trade him to a contender, they might have to eat some of that salary because there's just no way these other teams are going to get under the cap. And me, honestly, I wouldn't care about the contract extension right now because here's the thing. The Kings can fit Tarasenko in now because the kids are all on their ELCs. What's going to happen in 2 or 3 years when these kids are starting to come off their ELCs? And let's say some of them strike gold. And now you got to pay them, and now you're going to turn around and give Vladimir Tarasenko – another big contract and say that shoulder starts acting back up, then what? Right?
True. So
for me, I mean, if you're going to get him at the right price, fine. And see what he can do for 2 years. If it all works out, great. Because again, there is absolutely no guarantee that any prospect is going to pan out to be a first-line center, a first-line player in the NHL. It just doesn't work that way. Percentages are high, yes, but there's no guarantees.
It's all.
Yeah, like I say, I don't think he's worth, you know. I mean, if he was healthy, of course, you know, and didn't have the shoulder surgeries, that's an entirely different story. But
that article also noted that the Blues are probably going to have to eat some of his salary to make a deal work, which is intriguing to me. But like you said, Scott, they can fit his contract in, and maybe they don't have to give up as much if they take on all of it.
Right. So
it doesn't this seem like something Vegas would be able to figure out to do? I mean,
yeah,
getting Tarasenko on a 1-year deal at a risk. Maybe they give him like the Nikita Kucherov treatment where they just leave him on LTIR for most of the year and just squeeze him under the deal. But I mean, there's another thing, another trade destination I thought about that was pretty interesting was sending him off to Calgary for Tkachuk and bringing Tkachuk home to St. Louis. I was like, man,
yeah,
that makes a ton of sense.
You'd have to send more the other way, a lot more to Calgary.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Tkachuk is way more valuable, but I mean, yeah, that makes a little bit of sense. But I like the players that you keep mentioning, Scott, Connor Garland. If we're going to maybe bring in another forward, which that seems to be the way the Kings are going, I mean, if you can pair him with Trevor Moore, the way they played together in Latvia for the World Championships, they looked great together. That chemistry was fluid. So bring him in and give up what you need to. He's a great player.
Well, he's already a proven 20-goal scorer at the NHL level, too.
Mm-hmm. Might as well acquire Jason Robertson too while we're at it. Get that one together.
Yeah, exactly. Just bring that whole line.
Just to close it out too, I heard an interesting rumor today that Vegas was apparently, since you mentioned them, asking about Jack Eichel.
I saw that.
So, oh, I don't know how
all 32 teams are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they could possibly even make that work, but who knows? I mean, it's a magician's act at best. So
that's really interesting. I don't believe he's had the surgery yet. So I mean, teams could not potentially not be able to use him until like December or January. You know, what if you're a contender that needs a guy like that?
Yeah,
true. You can acquire him, but he's got his $10 million cap hit, and if you're going to LTIR him, that doesn't go into effect until the season starts. So you still have to be compliant when the season starts. That's the trick.
Yeah, I guess you could make the argument, you know, a contender should have enough supporting pieces to carry you to December and January. But if you get off to a horrific start, you know, that can really kind of derail any your plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. But I'll tell you, I'll talk about a team that needs some center help. It'd be Vegas. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they with Chandler Stephenson was their 1C for the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess, Wild Bill just really wasn't a 43-goal scorer. Who knew? I don't know. But anyways, I think that's all we got for tonight, boys. It was a lot of fun chatting with Mikey Anderson. That was just, again, that was fantastic. We thank him so much for coming on the show. We love talking about some rumors with you. So hopefully by the next show, we'll have some more trade news, some more rumor news, and just some more overall fun.
Yeah, and thank you to the Kings for setting that up for us, too.
Yes, absolutely. That was awesome. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, for Ryan Sykes, for Russell Morgan, I'm Scott Kinville. Thanks for listening. Go Kings, go!